It's good to be with you this morning. Another beautiful day with the cooler weather that is just so beautiful and refreshing. And such a great occasion to be out together, to be able to remember our Lord and to celebrate our participation in that covenant as Jay brought our minds to just a few moments ago. You know, it's been a while since I've had to prepare two sermons for like the same day or the same weekend. You know, we do our Bible class on Sunday evenings, and so just the Sunday morning sermon is what is required for me. And then with the wedding yesterday, you know, there was like this extra sermon. And I figured since some of y'all weren't able to be there yesterday, I could just reuse that sermon. And so I'm going to need Michael and Emily Ann to come forward just for us. No, I'm just kidding. I will say it was a thought in my mind. How am I going to do this? Am I going to come up with two different ideas for the same weekend? It has been a while. And so what you're going to get this morning is less of a sermon and more just of some things that I've been thinking about lately. Things that I've had running around in my mind. I'm one of those that if I have something on my mind, I have to talk about it. Some might call that a flaw, but it is just who I am. Others express themselves better through writing. That's the way. If Leisha has something on her mind, she has to get it down on paper or type it out and express it that way. Whether anybody ever reads it or not, it's down on paper and out. And I'm one that has to be able to express it and talk about it. And with the wedding coming up and preparing for that, it's really caused me to reflect, you know, because I have a lot of little girls and boys, and I know that a day is coming when I'll be in Will's shoes or in Mr. Griffin's shoes and attending a wedding where it's one of my children that are joining themselves to another. And you know, yesterday at the wedding, there were some tears shed. In some cases, a lot of tears. Most of those by the preacher, but some by the families as well. And I can't help but think that those tears were a mixture of things going on. On the one hand, there is the joy of being at such an amazing, special occasion, to be in the presence of God and to be gathered together with so many people who have their hearts and affections all set in the same place. And being there to encourage and support Michael and Emily Ann in the decision that they were making and the joining of their lives together, the joining of their families, there is just this overwhelming joy, and that sometimes flows out. On the other hand, I imagine there was a little bit of sorrow mixed in with those tears, and not sorrow in the way that, you know, we might normally think of sorrow, but just the fact that pouring out would be this expression of there's a significant change happening here. The relationship between parent and child is changing. The relationship maybe even between husband and wife is changing. There is just this overwhelming mixture of emotions, and it's really caused me to think about and reflect how frequently that happens in life. Where you have the feelings of joy and the feelings of sorrow kind of come crashing in together against each other, and they're both there, they're both present, and what a weird place that is to be in your mind and in your emotions. And it happens on such a trivial level as well. So even in simple things that in the grand scheme of things do not matter at all. There should be no real significance given to these things, but they are significant to us in the moment. Like, for example, 8-year-old softball. I'm coaching Matty Grace's 8-year-old softball team. Monday night, we lost our first game. I was crushed. The girls, not so much. There was a little bit of sorrow. There was disappointment, right? But we lost to the team that had not won a game all year long. And we had not lost a game all year long. And so on the same field was joy, I mean, inexpressible joy. These girls that have tried so hard and been in every single game that they've played and lost by, they lost by one run in every single game they've played, except for one game when we beat them by 4 earlier in the year. And so they've been so close, and it had just escaped their grasp so many times, and this time they got over the hump and they were so excited. And you know what? I was excited for them. Even though I was disappointed for our team and our girls, I was excited for them. And it was a weird place to be, you know? And just to see how frequently that kind of thing happens. Where there's just this overwhelming joy, and where there is also sorrow being experienced. I've kind of been in that place for the last several weeks. And again, not to completely make Michael and Emily Ann the subject of our lesson today, but in preparing for their wedding, and I know that so many here have helped them with that, and I know they're thankful for that. And what an exciting occasion that has been. But as we have drawn closer and closer to that day, our sister Susan has gotten sicker and sicker and sicker. And it's been a weird place to be in. To see the excitement over a brand new marriage that's on day one or day half right now, right? And then at the same time, at the exact same time in our own church community here, we have a marriage of 40 plus years, I don't know what the exact is, that's experiencing the worst unimaginable trial of their lives. And watching just the sorrow of that, and all in the same weekend. What a strange place that is to be for us. It's almost more than we can process in our minds. I think that's where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the passage that Eli read for us just a few moments ago, Jesus knows why he's here. He's known why he came here since before the beginning of time. It was told to us that before the foundations of the earth were laid, the Lamb of God was going to be the sacrifice. It was chosen that this was going to be the plan. And so he knew. He knew as a baby, as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, as a carpenter, as a son, He knew why he came here. And he chose to come here. Because he understood what no one else could have understood at that time. He understood the outcome of what his death would do for us. He knew that if he came to this earth and laid down his life, that the wrath would be appeased, that the penalty for sin would be paid, and not just for a few people, but for everyone, for anyone who would come to him through faith. And so there's this one hand where he knows exactly what is about to be accomplished. He knows what his death is going to purchase. And you can imagine the joy that he must have felt in thinking about that. You know, when you read the prayer in the garden in Matthew, and then you turn over to John 17 and read the more fleshed out version of the prayer in the life of Jesus leading up to the cross, you get a very different sense in the range of emotions that Jesus is going through. In Matthew here, it is sorrow. Sorrow over what he's about to have to endure. It is an anxiety about the pain, the ridicule, the shame, and all of the just terrible tragedies that he has to go through in order to be this all-sufficient blood sacrifice for sin. He is biologically in a place of deep stress as his body is literally releasing blood from the places where sweat would normally be released. That the fatigue and the stress and the knowledge of what he's about to have to endure is literally pouring out of his body in droplets of blood. Yet at the same time, while thinking about that, about what he's about to go through, Bill did a fantastic job last week or a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember, but of going through John chapter 17 and focusing on the fact that while Jesus was thinking about the horrible things that he was about to endure, he prayed for you. You were on his mind. And the joy for what he was about to accomplish for you was the thing that motivated him to go through with it. Being obedient to his Father, accomplishing the will of the Father, glorifying the name of the Father, in going through those things so that he could have a people that would be his people, that would be saved by his blood. A place where joy and sorrow meet. And when I think about that, I'm taken to that place. I'm taken to that intersection between joy and sorrow. On the one hand, I am overwhelmingly joyful that Jesus loved me enough to die for me. I mean, I cannot express strongly enough how amazing it feels to know that I have a Savior that left the joys of heaven so that he could come down here to suffer and die so that I could be with him. I mean, just the the joy that is associated with that knowledge, that understanding, that feeling inside of me. On the other hand, there's the guilt and the shame associated with the things that I've done in my life that caused him to have to do that. You know, Peter was in a place like that the night that Jesus was betrayed and arrested, put on countless unfair trials, mocked and ridiculed and beaten and hung on a tree. Peter had it in his mind that he would never leave the Lord. He would never forsake the Lord. He would never do anything to cause the Lord pain. In fact, he's going to protect him at all costs, even laying down his own life, fighting to the death. And once he saw Jesus get arrested, he started denying that he even knew who he was. And one of the gospel accounts tells us that when that rooster crowed, Jesus looked at Peter, and there's that place. There's that place where the guilt and the shame and the sorrow becomes almost too overwhelming. And he runs away and cries. And what that 3 days must have been like for him prior to him running to the tomb and seeing it empty, what it must have been like for him to just be overwhelmed by the sorrow of his sin, sorrow of his failure, sorrow of his own betrayal of the Lord in not standing by his side and not being there with him. I know what that feels like. The joy of salvation coming right into conflict with the sorrow of the fact that he had to endure those things because of what I did, because of the mistakes that I made. And while I think that is a good and healthy place for us to be for a time, I don't think that's where God wants us to stay. While it's good for us to always remember the things that we've done, to remember the great price that was paid, God wants us to move beyond that and to see really just the joy. The joy of living as his child. We're told that same Peter, actually, that ran away and cried because of his own failings. He tells us that we need to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and all those things leading up to brotherly kindness and love. And he says, if these things are yours and they're increasing, then you won't be barren or unfruitful. But the one who lacks these things, the one who is not growing in their faith, has forgotten their purification. So while it's good to remember, and it's good to know that purification story and the guilt and shame that Jesus has come and wiped away, God wants us to focus on the things that bring glory to his name. The things that he has done in order to make us his very own. And even in a situation where we right now have a sister who is spending her final few days on this earth, and that there is deep sorrow associated with that, God wants us to to be thinking about the fact that, his son came to this earth to die, so that that is not the most sorrowful thing that we could ever endure. In fact, it is a place where joy and sorrow come right together in the same moment. The sorrow of loss, the sorrow of sickness and pain and separation, but the joy of resurrection and how Jesus made that possible. I realize that wasn't really a sermon, but it's just a small piece of what's been on my heart these past few weeks. And maybe it's been on your heart as well, and hopefully just getting that out in the open and talking about it a little bit might help us think through the things that are going on all around us at this time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of each breath, the gift of each beat of our heart, because we understand, although we might not take the time to recognize it enough, we understand that each of those things is its own separate gift that has come from you. And Father, we are thankful for the many different emotions that you allow us to experience in this life, even sorrow, especially joy, and the things that we gain from that, the things that we learn from experiencing those emotions. Thank you, Father, for the trials that you allow us to go through. Although we may not feel especially thankful in the midst of those trials, as our brother James has reminded us, and we have read it many times, we know that we can find joy in the trials because we know what they produce. And Father, we rejoice in the joining of two people yesterday before your sight, and the amazement of watching you begin a work in them that will certainly produce much fruit in their own lives and fruit for your kingdom. And we are just so excited about watching that relationship grow and bud and blossom and produce, and we're just so thankful that we have had the opportunity to get to witness that. At the same time, Father, we're mindful of our brother and sister Geary and all the Geary family and the Jackson family, and just the overwhelming sense of sorrow that they feel as they prepare for a separation for a time. And we pray, Father, for their comfort. We pray for especially our sister Susan's comfort. And we pray for the strength of those whom she will leave behind. And we hope, Father, that we will have many opportunities to be able to rally around that family and to provide comfort as a church family, that we will be there as that source of strength to lift up their hands. We ask, Father, that you please, in our lives, give us patience for one another, kindness and grace and mercy for each other, forgiveness for each other, because there are so many things that we can do together that bring so much joy and cause us to just enjoy the time that we spend together so much. And then there are mistakes that we make that cause sorrow and pain and hurt. And as we strive to live together and be one and bring glory to your name and expand the kingdom for your sake and your glory, we're going to bump into each other, and we're going to do things and say things that cause pain and sorrow. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us to be like you in those cases, and to have that grace and mercy and forgiveness for those who wrong us. We thank you, Father, for your word, which brings us comfort and strength and knowledge. Help us, Father, as we seek to apply that word first toward our families and then to you, or to this family here that belongs to you, and then also to the world outside, to everyone with whom we come into contact. Thank you, Father, for the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, although it's painful at times to think about the many things that we've done and said that are wrong and that are evil and wicked and sinful that caused his pain, that made it necessary for him to come and suffer and die. But thank you, Father, for making salvation available to us, and thank you for allowing him to pay that price. We ask, Father, that you please encourage and empower anyone here who has not yet made the decision to follow you through faith, to make that decision, to become a disciple of Jesus, to have their sins washed away, or to be renewed in their strength to walk in newness of life. As we end this time together and sing this song of encouragement, we pray, Father, that you will be whispering to their heart, giving them confidence to step out in faith and to make their decision known to follow you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen.